Let's say the words of the invocation. Toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And just with your eyes closed for a moment, just feel this moment together. We've had this beautiful retreat together, deep and uplifting. Share our hearts and souls together in this process. And tonight we're going to be hearing from some of the new initiates, or newly initiated higher initiations, five members of our order who have given so much to this order and so much to others. And so we're going to have this opportunity to listen to them and to hear a little bit about their papers, which they did alongside of long retreats. And we can just, in this moment, feel the expression of friendship in our hearts, opening up and providing a supportive space to hearing our brothers and sisters here tonight. So Yakin will say a little bit more about this.
I think you've really covered it well. So we'll have each of them come up briefly. The papers are so inspiring, and they'll be put out via email in the coming week or so. And they could, they're so inspired that they could tell you a lot, but we have a limited time. So we'll just plunge right in. And Hermione, would you come up, please?
Been on this side of the mic before. So my paper was entitled Transforming Our Responses to the World. And what motivated the study for the paper was the difficulty really that I was having in the political atmosphere of our country and really longing to find ways to respond differently. I was experiencing a lot of conversations that were angry or upset. I felt angry and upset in watching the news or reading the papers. And I think whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, It's true on both sides that people have been upset by what they've seen, and we've been disconnected from each other. And when I started the paper, it was titled Living Through Difficult Time, Living Through a Difficult Time. And the first couple of paragraphs that explained why I was writing the paper spoke in very sort of hard slap truths as I saw them about what was happening in our country. And as I studied Murshid's teachings, I changed the name of the paper and I softened those hard, definite, this is what's happening, because one of the things that I knew that I wanted to explore was the teaching that thoughts and words create are creative, are productive. And we want to be sure that they're productive of our ideal and not and don't further that which we would like to see transformed. So the process of doing the paper, of studying the paper, really was an alchemy inside of me that, of course, I'm still working with. But there were a few things. You know, I started with, well, what about there's nothing but God? Like, how can I feel this way and speak this way when there's nothing but God? And Murshid talks about there not being one atom in the universe that is not God. And that we need to see the face of God in every face, in the highest and the lowest and the most beautiful and the most worthless. And that's a challenge, but it's the challenge that we're given. Murshid talked about that it's the heart quality that can change the world. So all that railing isn't what's going to do it, you know? It's finding the sympathetic nature, seeing God in all, acting with strength and power where we need to act, but clearing the vehicle so that our nerves are in order, we're tuned to the infinite, where the resource comes from in order to face whatever condition we have to face. We're in rhythm with the circumstances of life. And what helps with that is to receive all circumstances, all conditions from the hand of God, and to be resigned that this is given to us by our beloved, and to stand firm in endurance of whatever conditions we're given. In order to be able to be firm, we need to protect our nervous system, and part of that is guarding our reactions, not reacting to every little thing. There was a while there I was reading the newspaper and shooting off, you know, sending those articles to everybody I knew and could think of with what my mother would call agita, you know, upset. But to have some distance where we examine the reaction that comes up and discern, is this a good use of my energy? Is it helpful in the situation? Is it better expressed or held? Yes, Murshid talks about the importance of guarding one's peace. And while we need to endure and not avoid things, we also need to have a means by which to weed out from our impressions that which destroys our peace. While we're developing the heart quality and a sympathetic nature, we need to be developing as much strength to guard them. And then I guess I just want to, one thing Yakin had mentioned when he spoke about this time of sharing our paper was if there were any, if there was an attunement, and I'm not gonna have us meditate together at this moment, but these are just a couple of thoughts that come from our time together, actually. So from the point of view of putting one's thoughts in the service of our ideals, imagine if all the thoughts and all the words we have when we return to our lives, that they all, as Pirzia said early in the retreat, if they all speak of the one, if they're all the one, the one, the one, no matter what we're speaking about. Amita shared, no, Rabia shared a practice of standing with a partner and looking into their eyes with respect. The respect that isn't earned, that comes just from being. The fact that this being has been put here by the Creator. So imagine if we look into everyone's eyes with that respect, whether we agree with them politically or not, but because they come from our beloved, to give them that respect. And one last thought, which is, imagine, and maybe we could make it a well-wishing for everyone, but we can even think individually of people, either that we love or that we've had trouble with, people that, you know, are difficult for us. May they deeply know that they're seen and loved by their Creator. And may that knowing and that love bring peace. Thank you.
Amita, Cynthia, Carrie.
So greetings from the heart. When we greet each other, we often put our hand on our heart, as Hermione so wonderfully spoke. So the paper that I wrote is also about the heart. How not? Murshid says, Sufism, if anyone asks you, what is Sufism? Sufism is, you can say, the religion of the heart. So my motivation to write this paper came from many different levels. The first, a time crunch, to be frank. And I was preparing a presentation for an Interfaith Chaplaincy Institute on the religion of the heart. So I thought, okay, I'll do that. And that seemed more doable than the many other things that went through my mind of the, you know, I work with the retreat guide training and alchemy and so very vast ranging. And, but as Hermione alluded to, the whole process of writing about what Murshid's teaching is transformative in and of itself. So I was led on a journey. And in that journey, it occurred to me that what I had been doing for many years, which is working with young children, working with students, working with the families of students, working with Sufi students, working, you know, so teaching in a sense, and I thought, well, there is no one that I have encountered that somehow hasn't had both a fabulous love in their heart and a wounding of the heart. And so I thought, well, really, what we have to offer is how to tend the heart. We have volumes of essential wisdom on how to tend the heart. And even beyond what Murshid has pointed to, we have so many teachers who have unfolded those beautiful points to bring to the public. I mean, the Gathas, for instance, they're published. There's so much within the Gathas about taking care of the physical heart. You know, we know how to do that. We're told how to do that with our diet and our stress level and our, you know, our relationships, how we interface with each other. And this is common knowledge, actually. If you go to a hospital, they will tell you how to take care of your heart physically. And there's a lot of esotericism within that physical tending of the heart. Was that your beep for
me? No,
no. Okay. Because I didn't look at the time at all.
That's all right.
Okay.
Okay.
So, and then also at the mental level, you know, how to tend to, as Hermione was saying, how to tend to our thoughts, how to tend to our words, how to tend to our point of view. One of the most astonishing things in the Gatha papers about purification of the body and the mind and the heart is how it ends. It ends with a purification of the identity. Who do we think we are? And that is the cry that comes from an adolescent. Who am I? What am I doing here? So if we look at this whole spectrum of beautiful human beings who are really walking with their hearts, we can offer a lot of ways to tend the heart. So I just want to speak about one, because it's, I think, so significant. And that is when considering the wound in the heart, to remember that, well, Murshid says, you know, in one of the religious Gothicas, I think it was, he says, it's like we can look out and see the walking wounded. So if we can look with sympathy toward another and look for that element of, well, we don't even really need to see deeply into them what caused their heartache, but that their heartache is there. Because in Murshid's teachings about alchemy, he says that to still the body, to still the mind, and to put upon the heart the herb that will transfigure it. So, what is that herb? Pain. Pain. It's a heartache, which will turn the heart toward another. Unless, of course, it's Jenny. No, now it is. It's probably keeping me from misspeaking.
The light's still on.
Well, okay. So, oh, there it is. Oh. Thank you. Yeah. So the one, you know, the one thing, of course, that I know from experience, perhaps you do as well, is that when the heart is wounded, it can close and say, no more, thank you. Guarding the heart. So a practice of becoming vulnerable and witnessing our posture in relation to another, maybe a lifelong journey to do that. And the reward is amazing. It is simply amazing. And so actually, I want to just close with this phrase that I learned from a wonderful music teacher. It comes from the people of Ghana, who, when they greet each other traditionally, of course, things have changed, they greet each other with this phrase, Funga Alafia Ashe Ashe, which means, I greet you with my thoughts, I greet you with my words, I greet you from the heart, I have nothing to hide. Now, what that means originally is that I'm not carrying a weapon, right? But if we close our hearts and don't allow them to be vulnerable, we are defended. We're carrying a weapon. So it's a courageous act to be weaponless and to relate to each other from our hearts. So that's just one aspect of tending our heart, maybe our global heart. Thank you.
Hello. So many of you in this room have been my teacher, my inspiration. It's wonderful to be sitting here with all of you. Thank you. I think it's going to be quite a journey ahead, too. It's already started. Shabbatin's told me, the narrower the path, the harder it gets. So I'll probably be the odd man out, because we were told about the paper, and then it was to get you familiar with who we are. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. My name is Danya. My given name is Rebecca, and my last name is Kester. I'm married to Kayum, and I live in Denver. It's wonderful to live in Denver because it's kind of in the middle of the United States, and I can go to the East Coast, I can come south, I can go up to Seattle and see Davey, or I can go to California. It's nice, I like it. I was thinking after this initiation, it had not occurred to me, but my initiation as a Marid into this order was in Texas, in a small private property outside Dripping Springs, and here Mustang Island. I mean, have you ever heard of those places? When I met the Sufis, I was in awe, but I wasn't ready to become one until 6 months later, I got the calling to become a Shirag. And to do a 40-day retreat. Talk about high ideals. Other Marids chuckled and said, well, usually you're a Marid for a long time before you come a Shirag. And I was told, you don't just start doing a 40-day retreat. But I did do the Shirag training. And after that 2 years, I realized how presumptuous that was of me to think I could be a Shirag. Davey and Shahabuddin had started their very first life transitions training, and that immediately followed my 2 years of Shirag training. And I did that. I thought, I'll know the answer if I go to that class. And it was lovely. But I still knew I had lots to learn. And I began my retreats with a 5-day retreat. working up to the 40-day retreat. And I like retreats. Some of you in here know me because of retreats. You've taken me on those retreats. The Sufi path felt like home because I've always believed in one God. When I was 5 years old, I asked my father, those little kids in Africa, if they have never heard of Jesus Christ, will they go to hell? I don't believe that could happen. How could any loving God do that? And he said, I agree with you. This was my father. So then, I've always known and felt this way, but nobody I had come across flushed it out. I just vicariously looked into Buddhism and Hinduism, and you know, I liked all those paths, but nobody had ever put them all together like this order. It's been a lifeline for me. I'm very grateful. The paper. Marty asked me which paper I was going to talk about. Obviously, I had more than one. I spent 2 weeks writing, and I didn't want it to quit. I loved every minute of it, digging in and Murshid's papers, and I loved it. And I was ready to send it off to Joaquin. I was within my time limit, and I knew it was not the right paper. So I thought, what do I do? You know, I had to get this done. So I went in and I sat with Murshid. I have a great big picture of Murshid that Halaj had given me, and it sits over my right shoulder usually, but I turned around and I faced it. And these three experiences came to me, unrelated. Well, wasn't that interesting? How are you going to do this? And so I went, okay, I was trusting, and I just started writing. And it turned out to be concentration, contemplation, and meditation. And it was very touching how I had trusted his guidance, and it flowed for me. I have the great privilege of being in a center that Halaj is our center leader, but I don't even know if you call them center leaders anymore because there's a group of us. And Alia Yeager and our beloved Sawardi and Karima Gebel. And so we just have a great center, and I have great support there, and may I be of service to the order where I am called. Thank you.
Mayor Bosch. Street name is Steve Grady. I live in Tucson, and there is a marvelous center there. It's a center that has supported any number of people, and we are the most marvelous spiritual community. We all are such a marvelous spiritual community. So in Tucson, I support my beloved spiritual sister, Amira, giving a monthly class. We co-lead, and it is so much fun to do so with someone who has
really the same or very similar attunement. And I love the environment in this earth, in this beautiful planet, so I help lead or coordinate quarterly Zarat ceremonies. I also have the great, great good fortune of leading both Gatha and Gita classes online with my beloved spiritual sister and mother, Agdasi. You've moved. And being of service and being part of the spiritual community is the most profound blessing. Our community, and we are all essentially this community, even those I don't know yet, we support one another through life's challenges. We celebrate together. We hold each other when our beloveds pass. What a sacred trust. So, my paper, it came to me on retreat. There's something so blessed as an excuse to take a 21-day retreat. To set aside time in one's busy life for such depth of retreat. And I had a topic in mind, and I had kind of an academic approach, and a whole new topic came to me. Came to me as part of the zikr of wish fulfillment. And it was indifference. It was strong, and it came forth that indifference was my lesson. And when one receives guidance such as that, you listen and you follow. And I didn't quite know about what it was about it. I have to say, I love practice and I love retreat and I love the practice of the symbol. And indifference is embedded in that. It's that left wing. We take that wing and we unfurl it and we wave it. That dust of reactive emotion and dissolves. Take that right wing and we unfurl it. That's independence, the truest form of independence, independence with the one. And with that, we can rise above our heart's aches and the world's rhythm and pitch, which is so incongruous sometimes. So I ask myself, what is this lesson of indifference? Is it detachment? Because I was beginning to feel detachment, renunciation of sorts. Perhaps we can feel that. But it isn't. It's a lesson that is very surprising for me. My lesson was interest, not indifference. Murshid speaks that we are not to take on or to go to indifference until we have exhausted interest. We are not to lift ourselves outside of this path of the heart, this path of the heart that keeps our heart open that draws us, leads us, pulls us into the world to be of service, a place where there is heartache, heartbreak, heart shattering. So, a little bit about myself. This was some time now. This has become a practice, the practice of collecting Murshid's quotes and writings on the topic and reading and rereading and wondering, what is it that I'm to know? What is the message for me? How do I step forward into life fully, heart open? Well, it was this lesson of interest. There are some things where indifference, or some situations where indifference is really called for. You've exhausted interest, interest which is the creative process, interest which brings, or, you know, manifestation. It is interest for me. So, I will be celebrating my wedding next month. So, definitely interest is to be called for. Thank you.
Amira?
So, I just have to take a minute to look from this side. Bismillah, bismillah. So my name is Amira Lori Kardish, and as Mir Bosch said, I'm from Tucson, and I'm glad he cleared up that contrary to some people's thoughts, we're not a couple. But we do work very well together and enjoy leading classes together and keeping each other's back when one of us hasn't written in the newsletter article and the other one starts it, and then we finish together. And it's just really nice to be in a team. I'm supposed to say some things about what else. Okay, in the center, mainly I teach the esoteric classes with him, and then I also am regional rep with Catherine, the southwestern region, and advise in the leadership training, which is quite an honor, actually, to talk. Well, I guide people too, but talking as an advisor with someone, I mean, it's just really like spiritual talk. How are you doing? What you know, and we all, you know, wind up having little stopping points that really are not important, that, you know, you talk, I don't know, I just kind of help encourage people to move through, and it's really a beautiful job. So, yeah, also, I'm happy to be going to mentor for the next upcoming salute class that's in starting in September. So I hope you guys are all telling people and will read online about, because I feel like in Tucson, we really didn't know so much about the deadlines coming up at the end of this month if people wanted to start in September for the next two-year class. So we should try to get that word out, and I think maybe Zebenis will push out the date a little bit to past the end of February. And Ruya, that's here, is also one of the mentors, and Mirage, who it seems isn't here tonight, but okay, enough about that. So one of the biggest pleasures in my life is I retired last May. And so the first thing I wanted to do was a 40-day retreat. I never had time that I could fit it in before. You just, you know, it's kind of hard in middle of life. And so in the land of enchantment at Catherine and Wahab's retreat hut, I started my retreat with Akdasi guiding by Zoom, which worked beautifully. She spent hours with me. And their space there is so beautiful. The deer come and feed at night, and there's lots of birds. And a short walk away, I could go up this hill and, you know, the beautiful red earth and gorgeous rocks that just are dazzling, and there's this like fairy tale feel of the land. It just is incredible. So I had a wonderful retreat. And then came that there's the writing of this paper that's the next hoop, you know, and it kind of, as some of the other people mentioned, you know, coming up with where do you even start with that one? Well, I decided to write it to a non-Sufi audience, explaining how I developed a relationship with divine in me. And it felt like more of a challenge because, you know, there's so many of our friends, like you say you're going on a silent retreat and they're like, what, are you kidding me? You're not gonna talk for like 5 days, 10 days, 40 days? What, you know? And I wanted to find the words to explain. And you know, we've been all doing this for a while, and it's like this beloved Anaiti path is part of my heart and soul and bones at this point, right? But how do you explain that to someone? And of course, everyone's gonna get to whatever level that they get, you know, but anyway, that was my task. So I wound up writing about some experiences that I had that especially were with the divine feminine. And I think that in our world today, we're still, as women, finding our role models and vibration, and even within our Anaiti order, though we have the freedom and encouragement, we're developing it. So inside myself, I wanted to hear that. I wanted to be able to voice it more. And so I wrote about Green Tara and about Kuan Yin and about Nurul Anwar, who I met on retreat as an angel. Akdasi introduced me. But tonight, what I really want to talk about in a short time is Aziza Scott knew I was going to be presenting, and she says, well, just talk about what inspires you. And I want to tell you at this point, what is live in my heart is vulnerability. And it was interesting that Amita brought up about the heart and vulnerability too, because I realized that as a well-adjusted person in our American society, I have a certain strength that often will bypass the depth of my heart. Sometimes so well that I don't even know it. So the learning curve to dive in and deeper, to be able to really listen, is a challenge that I'm facing, enjoying. And I was touched today when Bawa was speaking about the unseen beauty, that's also the unheard parts of our heart. And so in trying to really give time to this heart, I feel like I can give more to the world in truth, being really real. The last part says, and then we can shine out anew from our seer and giving God our all. Amen.
Amen, sister.
All enriched by our friend's assumption of new roles of service in the inner school. And it's a very happy occasion to witness this furtherance of dedication, to hear words describing the path that has brought our friends to this point and the path that leads onward and is beckoning. I believe we can all sense our interconnectedness in the depth of our shared dedication to the service of something we might use all manner of words to describe, but which ultimately eludes description. And soon we'll be going our different ways. Some leaving very early in the morning. Some have already departed. But we don't really leave each other. Stay connected through the rabita, the link of core to core. And we look for opportunities whenever we can to come together, as we did here, in this very meaningful week of communion. coming to a conclusion this evening, we could intone words that I had occasion to mention in passing this afternoon, but which we haven't yet intoned together. Words transmitted in the Inayatiya Mahbubiya, Rahman Rahim, Rasul al-Kareem. 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 Shall we now all rise up and say together the prayer for the universal?